everybody. This is Harriet Kamek, the host of Down to Earth, the show in which we talk about the issues that matter. And today on our show, I want to talk with you about sudden death in young people. Why are so many young people suddenly just dying of heart attacks all throughout the country? I mean, for most of us, it's happening in our social groups. It's happening within our families. It's happening within people we know. Then it's happening in our social groups, our social media family. And we're finding that more and more young people are just dying and just dying from heart attacks. And it makes us wonder what on earth is going on. And it seems to be pervasive, because as we look across the spectrum, many of us have social media and many of us have international contacts within our social media. So we're looking at people from various parts of the world, and they're all experiencing the same thing. So it's common. So whereas the CDC has defined what heart attacks is, the CDC being the Centers for Disease Control here in the United States, what we are finding is that this is crossing the socioeconomic patterns and crossing socioeconomic barriers and boundaries that prior to never existed. I mean, they've all told us that if we don't stay active, and so on, if you don't eat right, if you don't stay active, then you're likely to develop heart disease based on your age, gender, socioeconomics, race, ethnicity. But what we are finding now, it's becoming so alarming that so many young people are having this sudden death. So I want to talk with you about that. But first, let me tell you a little bit about who we are. I am Harriet Kamek. I am the host of Down to Earth, in addition to which I'm an author and speaker. You can find more information about me at my website, harrietkamek.com, or you can go to theexodusfoundation.com to find out how we eliminate and ease the burden on human trafficking survivors in our community. So if you want to be a part of that, you can go to our website, theexodusfoundation.com. You can either click on the channel to donate, or you can leave a comment to tell us that, hey, I support you, I'm with you guys, and so on. You can also continue to listen to these episodes. More episodes of Down to Earth are available on your favorite podcast platform. We're on a variety of podcast platforms throughout the world. So wherever you are in the world, you're likely to find it. I want to give a shout out to our friends all over the world who are listening, and to let you know that I invite you to the audience, and I am so grateful that you have taken the time out to be a part of our movement and our experience. Thank you so very much. And for more information, you can go to Google, or you can always go to my website, harrietkamek.com, for more information about who we are and why we do what we do. So this concern that we have about the sudden death in young people that is happening across the spectrum, why? That's the question, why? And I found myself thinking about this towards the latter part of October 2022. From then onwards, it began to hit me that younger people are dying at rates just as faster as older people. See, when someone gets past 65, we start thinking that, well, if they die, then it's old age. We start thinking that it's age. Age brings a variety of diseases that we're all trying to mitigate the effects of by furiously working out and by continuing to watch your diet and stopping some of those factors that would contribute to it. So, you know, people reduce drinking, they reduce smoking, and kind of lifestyle factors, shall we say, and lifestyle incidents that would contribute to advanced aging or a precursor to disease as we age. We've also looked at, okay, maybe I need to live a more purpose-driven life, a more purposeful life, so that we are not just, you know, rotting away, or we're not just aging away. There are many of us who, having worked for 40 years, you're now 60 and you're like, well, this is over, it's over. No, it's not. It's not over till God calls it. And until God says it's over, it's not. So if you still are breathing and you find breath in your body, you could get up. I mean, there are people who have preached, and there are people who have gone on stages across the world from wheelchairs. So if you and I have strengthened our limbs and we can get up and do something, then we should. We owe it to ourselves to lead a purposeful life. I like to say that everyone should have a planner. I know in today's world, we all have digital planners and we have digital calendars, and while those are efficient and at your service, kind of a few years ago, my digital planner failed me. I mean, I don't know what caused it to be wiped out. So I stopped. So I found myself going back to my old-fashioned ways of writing things down. You know what? Writing stuff down and having a calendar of things to do gives you purpose, makes you have something to look forward to and something to live for and something to want to get up to. So if you're retired and you say, well, Harriet, I was in the classroom for 35 years, or I worked in the plant, or I worked for this company, or I just worked for 40 years and I'm just sitting down, don't do that. Get up and find something to do. Get up and find something. Even you have the luxury now, is what I like to tell folks, that after you have retired, you have the luxury of not having to get up at 8 o'clock, but you certainly should have something to do. Find a purpose-driven life. So you're saying then, Harriet, are we saying that these young people didn't have purpose? That's exactly the conundrum of the problem. The crux of the problem is that these were young people who, for all intents and purposes, have their whole lives ahead of them, but are taken out of life and are robbed of their lives by sudden death from a cardiac event. So I had to go figure out this. So I went to the Mayo Clinic, I went to the CDC website to find out what exactly is the official, notice I say official in quotation marks, the official explanation for why so many young people are dying from sudden death was remarkable. Of course, it's a range of factors. Are you ready for this? Pandemic-induced stress, psychosocial factors, psychological factors, social factors, the incidence of job loss, the incidence of being robbed of your social circle as a result of the pandemic. I kid you not, it goes on and on. And the granddaddy of it all, financial pressure, acute and chronic stress that seems to be unmanageable. So let's backtrack a little bit. I'm going to bring you back slowly. Close your eyes. We're going to just close your eyes. And we're going to count down. I'm kidding. You think you're in a hypnosis session for a second there. But no, I want you to close your eyes and go back to 2019. Right? 2019. And then towards the end of 2019, we started imagining what 2020 would be. Remember, we had all these hopes and dreams that 2020 was going to be our best year. It was going to be double for our trouble. We were going to get double the reveal, double the victories, double everything. There was nothing wrong with being optimistic about that. I dare say that for many of us who had that, that kept us going. And then came 2020, early parts of 2020, and an individual who was president of the United States, who shall remain forever nameless, was president and absolutely messed up the coronavirus that was sweeping through the world. It began in Asia, and of course, like everything else, it wasn't managed properly. And so it crept across Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Africa, and it landed here in the United States. We watched the whole world come to a standstill. It wasn't like the dreams or the movies of Hollywood where an alien invaded the planet and the planet had to be defended and Captain America or Superman had to come out of hiding somewhere. It wasn't that. It wasn't a nuclear event that somebody accidentally pressed the button and went, oops, shouldn't have done that. It wasn't even a catastrophic weather event like, you know, a volcano or a volcanic explosion somewhere on the planet. It wasn't an earthquake that triggered a tsunami. It was nothing. It was an invisible virus that began to kill people off. So we all kind of watched in stunned amazement with our hands over our mouths like, oh my God, a whole way of life was disappearing. And that was for those of us who are in our 50s. I'm in my 50s. I'm 56. And so for those who are in their 60s and 70s, the virus became even more deadly. And so we watched as our grandparents and our parents started dying off. And young people had to sit back and watch job loss after job loss. So imagine someone in their 20s or 30s who was looking forward to a glorious life. Yeah? And then all of a sudden, they realized that that might not exist within the framework that they thought it would. And so people sat there. Then we became they closed everything down, so we had to isolate. That isolation alone was enough to trigger panic attacks and anxiety attacks. Then, of course, there was the inevitable job loss. Companies shut down. Then we had to restructure because the company shut down. So then by the time they restarted, the job was not the same. You had massive job losses when some people did not have what the social infrastructure to protect them. They didn't have what they didn't realize before. Living in an apartment is not what permanent housing, because it's dependent on having a job. So if you have no job, you can't pay your rent. So you have to make adjustments. It's one thing if you can move back home to your parents, which many, many hundreds of thousands, millions of people did. It's one thing when you don't have parents to move back home to, or when your parents themselves were experiencing job loss. Those are the factors. So the increased anxiety triggered heart rates. Imagine your heart constantly palpitating every time someone knocks at your door because you're anticipating that it's the landlord coming to put your stuff all down the street. Many people watched evictions happen. Do you know how undaunting, you know how bad that is? To drive through neighborhoods and you saw people's stuff being put out? They had moratoriums on evictions, but after the pandemic lifted and the moratoriums expired, people are rapidly being evicted. Right here in the city of Detroit, there are now housing coalitions who have formed as a result of the pandemic to help those who are renters. I read one story recently of a 76-year-old woman who is a retired social worker who was evicted from an apartment she had occupied for 10 years because the building had been sold to a new landlord and the new landlord wanted increased rent and was evicting everyone so that they could, you know, sell the building and rent it out for more. Imagine being 76 years old, you're on a steady income, and it's set. So it's not like you can do anything about it, and suddenly you find you have to go live somewhere. Unbelievable. These are the factors that are, just talking about it is giving me a headache, frankly. Because I'm looking and imagining all sorts of scenarios that could happen to people. I myself, I'm blessed enough to have had my own home, so I didn't encounter the housing loss that many people encountered. I could also accommodate and house my children, so they didn't have to worry about where they would live either, even though they're grown, they're adults, they're young adults, yeah? So these are the factors, the chronic stress. So you can just imagine the chronic stress. People had to lose transportation. If you lived in a big city, you were forever worried about that. We called it couch surfing. People were going from one couch to the other, trying to find housing. All those are contributing factors to why young people are having sudden death. One of the most crucial factors, I've been asking young people around me, how do you feel about this? And I've been asking them, and here's the answer that they have given me. They said nothing is as bad as having gone to college, because that's what we told them to do. Go to college, work hard, and you will succeed. Isn't that the messaging? That's the messaging from the society. So we were, in fact, bearers of that message. So we told them, go to college, work hard, you will succeed. And they worked hard, went to college, and got their degrees, and got a job that, frankly, prior to the pandemic, wasn't paying that much either. But they were living in the hope that it would change one day. Then the pandemic came, and new realities emerged. You know what were the new realities? Suddenly, the man who owns Amazon became a trillionaire overnight. In 1 year, he went from having a value of maybe 50 billion or something to being a trillionaire. He was not the only one. The Zuckerbergs and everybody else, all the big tech brotherhood, that's what I call them, the big tech brotherhood, suddenly became trillionaires overnight because now that we had to work from home, we had to have hardware and technology software to power up those devices to make your home office hum. Yeah? They became trillionaires. So the gap between the rich and the poor has widened. Sociologists now say that the gap in America between the very rich and the very poor has now widened to what it was before the French Revolution. That means you can never catch up. I don't know that I could ever become a billionaire like them or a trillionaire. The gap is so far wide. It's either we're going to reduce the valuation systems that make these people wealthy, or we're going to have to tax everybody. They have to pay the same rate of taxes that you and I pay. Why don't we have some parity in that? But I digress here. I'm just a social commentarian, yeah? So when you look at all these things, this is what is causing the sudden death among young people. They're looking at a world and they're seeing, because my children are asking this, your children are asking, what are we going to inherit? What kind of world is there going to be? My children are just like you. One of them has finished her advanced degree. The other one is working towards her bachelor's and then advanced degree. And she's like, I won't even think it. She's 20. She's like, I'm not even going to think it. It's got to change before I'm ready to take it on. But you're looking at young people who are under 40. Because that seems to be the demographic. The people under 40, the people who are teenagers up to 40, are the people who are most impacted by this sudden cardiac death. So I went to look up some factors. Well, of course, we've been told that it's psychological, it's COVID related, it's the rise in extreme weather. But here's the fact. It's because of one thing, it's stress. Now, there are some people who are saying, well, Harry, we all took the vaccine and suddenly we're all dying because death has no favorites. It's taking everybody out. We have noticed a number of famous people dying as well. And they're dying. Well, we can say, well, they've lived their lives. They're older. They've lived their lives. Well, what about all these young people? There are young people who have died too. Bob Marley's grandson died, to name one. And there are a few others who just died. Separate and apart from the fact that most of these young people are also involved in suicide. But what is causing them to be so hopeless about the future? I don't speculate on whether it's something in the vaccine that triggered heart rhythms. I'm not going to speculate about that. That's for the conspiracy theorists to go expand on and go expound on. I'm looking at the hard facts. The facts are that people are dying and young people are dying. So what is our society going to look like if we can't take care of our young people? The Mayo Clinic says that, according to the Mayo Clinic, they believe that these spikes are caused as a result of the pandemic. In fact, sociologists and social scientists will tell you that the pandemic was really a tridemic, because a pandemic is supposed to be a global event that lasts for a specific amount of time, a short time. This stretched into 2022. Now, we're in 2023, and the fact is they have not told us what is happening in terms of COVID deaths, but the numbers are still going up. We removed our masks, and so we are out in the world. People are saying they're getting all kinds of infections that have just arisen, MRSA and all kinds of spin-off infections. All kinds of viral infections are on the rise. So we're still out touching the same community services. I like to call them communal services and so on. So I'm doing the same thing you're doing. You know, when you get back in your car, you pump some hand sanitizer. I wear a mask when I'm going out in public amongst people. Stuff like that. But they wanted us in the rush to get back to normal, because the technocrats of the day did not want to lose their ground in business, did not want to lose their advantage in business. They declared that the politicians had to find a way to get us back to work. People have to get back to work. I'm about to lose my business. People have to come back to work. And in the rush to go back to work, it caused more stress than anything else. In a lot of cases, young people are not wrong in terms of the financial outlook. It is in fact very bleak. If there are people who are trillionaires, then what hope is there for someone who is earning minimum wage? We look at our day and time now when eggs are $8 for a dozen in some markets, and the federal minimum wage is $7.40. If the federal minimum wage, if you still don't earn as much per hour as one dozen eggs, my God, I can understand why young people feel the way they do. So you're looking at me and you're saying, so Harriet, what's the catch? What's the hope? Well, here's what I tell my kids. I said, this is a cycle. And like everything else, we're going to cycle out of it. We're going through it, and the grind of it is heavily impactful. Anticipate that's what it's going to feel like when it drops on you. But it's a cycle, and we're going to grow out of it. Now, when we emerge from it, I cannot tell you what we will look like. I cannot tell you what we will sound like, but I do know that we will get through it. We just have to keep going. That's what I tell my kids. So I said, turn off the news. Don't listen to the doomsday. Don't listen to people telling you how this is happening politically. I said, that's a side issue. The real issue that is taking place is what's taking place at the gas pump and what's taking place at the grocery store. That's where the rubber meets the road. The political stuff, that's theater. That's them trying to, that's politicians who have a hunger for attention. They want attention so bad they will say the most outrageous stuff to make a headline so they can appear on the 6 o'clock news, or they can appear as an update. What is it called? A breaking news update. They are outrageous individuals, and I hope that someday they will come to grips with what they have done to our collective psyche. The CDC and the Mayo Clinic might not be off in saying that a lot of these issues that cause these sudden deaths are psychological. Of course they are. Do you really think that when you had little Johnny and little Ashley and they were running around playing soccer and doing all the after school activities that they had to do to get into the college of their choice? Why is college entrance so egregious and inaccessible is something else for another conversation. But nonetheless, so there they were trying to get into college. And after they got into college, the professors and so on made them feel like, if you pass this degree, if you study, if you get this degree from this ivory-towered institution, you will become the next best, the next great, the next this. And they bought into it, hook, line, and sinker. And we reinforced the messaging by saying, yes, this is absolutely the best way to succeed. This is the only way to succeed. You must go to college. And then they go to college, they come out, and they can't get a job that pays more than $20 an hour. Do you know what inflation costs? My daughter said, we live in Detroit, Michigan. So she says she's going to rent a studio apartment in one of the other surrounding cities. You know what the studio apartment in one of the surrounding cities is? Studio, not a one bedroom, $1,200. So she's like, so how am I going to pay rent of $1,200? I'll never be able to save to go buy a house. These are the factors that are really contributing to it. It's not just the pandemic. Don't let them fool you and blindside you like, oh, well, we went through a pandemic and that. These are the social problems that pre-existed. We just were numbing it out by hoping that an administration change would change it. We were numbing it out by thinking that if we went to the club and danced enough and sing enough, that it would. They blinded us by inundating us with celebrity information, not knowing that these people live super rich lives anyway, and that every time you play their music, you're contributing to their super rich lives. So I want to ask you all, you're still going to continue to download their songs and still continue to their lifestyles? Because you need that 99 cents more than they do. They'll tell you, I don't need your 99 cents. Yeah, well, if 100,000 people stop buying their songs for 99 cents, I guarantee you they're going to have a problem. And do the math yourselves. If 100,000 people download a song for $1.99, how much is that? It's like me telling you that in order to hear my podcast, you have to subscribe. And by subscription, I mean paid subscription. Would you still listen to my podcast at $1.99 if I asked you? You would probably pass me over, yeah? Because you would go to the next celebrity who is telling you that because you think they have more value. So they must know something that I don't know. When in fact, I give you value. They're just selling you an entertainment, an idea. So now we don't even have hope. So you look at young people and they're asking us the questions as the parents, well, what is the hope? Where is the exit strategy? What are we going to do out of this? And as parents, we're scratching our heads. We're like, yeah, this is cyclical. We've been through this before. Our previous generation went through it. So we have to grind it out to get through it. And they're like, but the getting through it is everything. They're like, I don't want to live with my parents. I want to be able to go do what I want to do like you did, Mom. That's what they tell me. When you were my age, Mom, you were a homeowner. I want to go live my life. I want to be able to go to the club when I want to. I want to be able to go out when I want to. I want to be able to go drink when I want to. So young people are sitting there and they're looking at their incomes shrinking, but the bills and the cost of living is not shrinking. They're looking at their hopes shrinking and the fact that when they get old, they might not have the life their parents have. Are you listening to me? That is what is causing the sudden death. So they sit there, and though because they're young, nobody's checking their hearts when they go to the doctor. In fact, they can't afford health insurance anyway, most of them, because they're over 26, so they're no longer on our health insurance. So they can't afford it because they work, because they changed. Most states don't give Medicaid, so they can't access public insurance either because they earn too much. So they don't have health insurance. So they're literally existing on a wing and a prayer. So nobody knows that maybe they should go do a stress test for their heart because maybe their heart rhythm is out. So nobody is checking their heart. We are busy. We're trying to check on their mental health. We're trying to watch their consumption of alcohol or whether you have a child who uses recreational drugs. You're trying to warn against the effects of it. But what we are not, we can't see is the invisible heart rhythm. How all these factors have combined to compartmentalize and make young people feel like there is no hope. So the chronic stress of always worrying about how they're going to pay rent. Young people will rent a 2-bedroom or 3-bedroom house and parcel it out and have multiple roommates just so they can live, just so they can pay the rent. They will drive what we call a may reach car. It may get there, and they don't have enough to buy something to eat. And they're working. It's like we talked about yesterday on this podcast and the Big Tech Brotherhood. We sent kids to school and told them they had to have STEM degrees. And they come out with their STEM degrees. And the Big Tech Brotherhood is laying off people left, right, and center. Because you know what? They have to maintain their trillionaire status. So they get angry and they just lay people off. It's the government's problem. Then they call up the senator or the house, the representative. I will not contribute to your campaign if you don't do this. So they have to pass laws that continually benefit big people who are rich. Hence the widening gap between the rich and the poor. That is what is causing sudden death amongst young people. That widening wealth gap that nobody wants to talk about, that none of the paid heads on talk TV is talking about. You know why they're not talking about it? They're being paid not to talk about it. Because nobody wants young people to realize, Generation Z and the millennials, to realize that they are experiencing harsh economic realities, so much so that it's causing them to die young. Studies show that millennials and Generation Z are the first generations in history, back to back, who will not experience wealth in their lifetimes. They're the first generation who don't have a gap between a bad event, a bad world history, historic event, and the recovery. My generation, the baby boomers, had it. After that, the economy boomed after World War II. Then they had us, the Generation X. We came up out of a time when it was going, but it was going. Now we have millennials and Generation Z and even Generation Alpha. They have to sit back and watch their parents losing everything and moving transiently from place to place. They don't even have a place called home because you live in it today for a year or two. You lose a job, you have to go. You're talking about massive numbers, large numbers of people who have normalized coming home and finding their toys and stuff on the side of a road because they've been evicted. We're talking about large numbers of young people who have nowhere called home to sleep at night. They have learned to sleep in their cars or their vehicles, or they have to sleep in a shelter or their couch surfing, going from house to house to house. I hope I'm not making you cry, because it's making me cry, because I cannot imagine a life like that. And here's the thing that's key. You know what's key about this? It's not like you're going to get a job that is going to cause an immediate turnaround in your circumstances. First of all, for them to mail you anything, you have to have an address to go to. So speak the truth. But you're going to get a job that is not going to help you build wealth. How are you going to work enough at $14 an hour, $15 an hour with your bachelor's degree, with your master's degree, $19 an hour, $20 an hour? How are you going to earn enough to save to fulfill that American dream? The American dream and the loss of it is what is causing this. It's not pandemic-induced stress. That was one thing. That's psychosocial. It happened to all of us. All of us had to internalize the images and the recollection and the reconcile with ourselves, the reconciliation of understanding that 40 million people, we watch people die in a mass event, and it wasn't war. Millennials like to joke that what triggered them in the first place were they were the generation who watched 3,000 people die on national TV. But that was war. 9/11 was a war, was a form of war. It was war. Let's put it into perspective. That's how their generation started. They say, some of them say they're forever scarred by that, because that was what set in place certain economic realities. After that, scientists and sociologists now say, and economists say, the economy started going down after 2001, because the then President George Bush sent us into two wars that we didn't really need to fight. Dried up all that was in the social safety net and caused inflation to gradually start rising. Hence the 2008 crash. The housing market crashed in 2008. The job market crashed in 2008. Now, scientists and sociologists and economists are saying that the wealth gap, the gap that exists between the rich and the poor, is the same as the gap that existed between the rich and the poor prior to the French Revolution. And you wonder to yourselves why young people are having sudden cardiac death. My friends, it's time for a course correction, isn't it? It is. And you say, Harriet, where is that coming from? As for me and my house, we continue to look to God Almighty. We continue to ask God to pray. We continually pray that this is going to turn around for the people we love, for ourselves, and for the people we love and the people who pray for us. We continue to believe God that it is going to change. We have to have hope. A generation ago, after World War II, they had hope that things would change. They were fervent in their belief that they had done the right thing by eliminating evil and hatred. We have to solely go to work on believing that we are eliminating hatred and evil. Whatever the form hatred and evil takes today, whether the war in Ukraine that shouldn't have happened because one world leader thought that he has every right to do it, his name is Putin, and it has caused the world, just as we thought we were going to come out of the pandemic, we were going to get out of COVID-19 and find a way back to some level of normalcy. Then he just thrust all that, and then we realized we're never going to be normal. So we're actually at war right now, the whole world. We are in a world war right now. There are multiple countries in the Ukraine fighting Putin. That's fighting evil. If World War II took more than 1 year, this one is going to take some time. In the meantime, what is the cost? The cost is sudden death to young people. The cost is the sudden death amongst people in the age group of 18 to 40. The cost is sudden death amongst people over 50. The cost is 13% of the people over age 65 are experiencing this. The cost has risen astronomically. We've got to have a course correction. We've got to come back to basics. We've got to come back where these United States produce laws and make laws and pass laws that benefit the people. Government of the people, by the people, for the people has to become our reality again. It has to become the way in which we live. That has to be the guide mark that guides the policies that emanate from our houses of government. If it is democracy, then the people should have a say in that democracy. And the people should be what? The people should be the writers of that democracy. That has to be reflected. It can't be government of the rich, by the rich, and for the rich. It can't be government of the 1%, by the 1%, for the 1%. It has to be government of the people, by the people. We have to get back to providing universal health care for everyone in these United States so that young people who don't have access to health care, who can't afford to pay these astronomical insurance premiums to be seen by a doctor, they may wake up one morning and feel something trigger in their heart and say, oh, it's just nothing. It's just anxiety. I'm having anxiety pains. When in fact, those are the early warning signs of a heart attack simply because what? They don't have health insurance to follow through. We got to change that. Are you hearing me, Mr. President? The people who are listening and who are telling the presidents of this world, are you hearing me, Miss President, Miss Vice President, Miss Leader of the Democratic Party, Mr. Leader of the Republican Party, Mr. Leader of the Opposition Party, Mr. Leader of every party? Are you hearing me, representatives, senators, governors, councilmen and women all over this country? Are you hearing me? We need a course correction. The time has come for a course correction. We must have a course correction in these here fiscal policies that are enabling the rich to continue to perpetuate and perpetrate wicked economic policies where they feel like they can pay people as indentured laborers and they walls off into the sunset and building doomsday bunkers knowing they have set the society up for collapse. We've got to reverse this and change this. We have got to get back to basics. Where is the United States? That is the city on a shining hill. We have got to bring that back full, front, and central. It's got to be government for the people, by the people. It's got to be. That was what was decreed. That's what this country was founded on. Now, government of the rich, for the rich, and by the rich. They don't even vote. But yet they are reaping all the benefits. We've got to start making everybody else pay their fair share. They've got to start being taxed. They have to pay their share, and we need to demand that they pay workers more. The inflation rate needs to be dropped, and it can be. Because the only people profiting from the high cost of goods and services are the rich. So, my question. Who is causing the sudden death amongst young people? Now you see for yourselves. Now you know the true answer. This is Harriet Kamak. This has been Down to Earth. For more information about who we are, please go to our website, harrietkamak.com. Thank you so much, everybody. Be blessed. It's going to be a good one, isn't it? It's going to be good.